Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast, doing it a day early, because why not? Today's the news. Kevin Acey had just got to Philadelphia. Thank goodness for Jeff Sanders. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Jay, the Padres acquired the Cleveland Indians' top prospect. Yes, they gave up Brad Hand. They gave up Adam Simber. That's fantastic. That's what we expected. AJ Preller did not waste any time. The top news, though, at this point for the Padres is not what they gave up, but what they got.
Right. And I think, you know, some people criticized AJ last fall, or actually last summer, I guess, for not trading Brad Hand at the trading deadline. And I guess, as he did with Craig Kimbrell, he turned this into a better deal. I'm assuming he did not have the opportunity to get someone like Roberto Mejia when he had offers last year, and he decided, and signing Hand to the extension certainly made him more attractive to Cleveland. I'm a little more familiar with the Indians than most American League teams, just because my brother lives there, and him and my nephew are huge Indians fans. And so I hear about the Indians all the time. I've heard about Mejia for a long time. I've also heard about how horrible the Indians bullpen has been this year. Andrew Miller has not been anything close to what we've seen since he arrived in Cleveland. Cody Allen hasn't been great as a closer this year. They got rid of Brian Shaw, who, of course, has been a disaster in Colorado. But they needed bullpen help, and they got it. And the Padres needed young talent. You can't go wrong acquiring young talent. Although, as I mentioned this morning on our Facebook Live, eventually that young talent will have to turn into wins, start winning games in San Diego. But we're not at that point yet, where we're really looking for that to happen. But when it does, I think Mejia is the kind of guy that Preller obviously likes a lot, and their organization likes a lot. Not as good a catcher defensively as Austin Hedges, but appears to be a much better hitter than Austin Hedges. So if only there was a way to put them together, you would have an all-world catcher from, or at least an all-world catching prospect from what we've heard about Mejia.
And that's it. It's interesting. A couple things are interesting to me. This is the prospect who is closest to the majors, among all the many prospects that the Padres have acquired under AJ Preller. Still 22 years old. I think he'll be 23. Probably just a little bit after the season. I think it was October. And you know, there was a time, and he slides right in there. Considered the 15th overall prospect by MLB Pipeline. Slides in as the Padres' number three prospect, pushes Luis Urias down. Fernando Tatis, of course, number one. Mackenzie Gore, number two. There was a time where a guy, you're taking another team's number one prospect. Heck, you take another team's number five prospect. That would have been the Padres' top prospect. So, obviously, they got much richer by getting this guy, and he's closer. And I just asked AJ Preller along the way that, you know, are you looking for guys who are closer now? The answer was not necessarily, and I believe that. It was, you know, if the 18-year-old kid that he got was super talented, then that's what he would have got. This happened to be a guy that is close to the majors. We're probably going to see him within the next month or so.
Right, and ESPN's Keith Law came out with his new rankings today, as a matter of fact, I believe, or I think it was today, and he had Tatis as the number one prospect in all of baseball. He has Mejia at number five, Mackenzie Gore at number six, and then three more Padres in the top 50, and Baez at 51. So that's seven in the top 51 for the Padres. So it appears that, at least among the people who do this for a living, I think MLB has the Padres with 10 of the top 100 prospects. So the people who do this all rate this farm system very highly. Again, at some point, we're going to have to see the results of this, but we're not there yet. But Mejia, as you said, is closer than anybody else they've acquired. He's probably at that same level as Urias. Actually, he's beyond that, because he's been in the big leagues briefly. He was just called up, I think, over the weekend by the Indians. So he's actually had a few major league at-bats, and sounds like the Padres are going to put him in El Paso to start with, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him up here before too long.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to want to see, just like they're going to want to see their other top guys. They're at El Paso and a few in San Antonio. They're going to want to see what they can do at some point this year and going into the offseason, where, you know, look, I think that they're going to do more here in the next 12 days before the trade deadline, if people will meet what is obviously AJ Preller doesn't mess around to meet his asking price. But the offseason is going to be very busy.
But this is their biggest, biggest asset. I mean, unless they combine a couple of others, but among the people we've talked about in terms of relievers like Hand and Simber and Yates and Stammen, and then, and even Tyson Ross as a starter, I don't think you would expect to get somebody's top prospect for anybody else that's been mentioned as a trade candidate. Now, if they've started dipping down and offering other players, proven major leaguers, that'd be different. But I like the fact they're getting someone who's close to the majors. It's, you know, it worked out well, obviously, getting Tatis for Shields. It appears to have worked out well getting Chris Paddock for Fernando Rodney. But there's nothing wrong with getting a guy who's even closer to the majors as opposed to someone who's, you know, two or three levels away. So I can't find much reason to fault this deal. I think, you know, they turned Brad Hand, who was a waiver wire pick, and Adam Simber, who, you know, was, I don't, kind of a mid round pick, didn't even make the majors last year, went to extended spring training. They've turned those two guys into a top five, top 15, top 20 prospect here. And I think that's what we have been looking for as we get closer to the deadline. And we'll see what happens now, as you said, in these remaining 12 days or so until the July 31 deadline.
You know, the big league team plays tomorrow. They start playing baseball again, Jay.
Oh, really? Is that why you're in Philadelphia? I thought maybe that you were there for like the Eagles were starting camp and you were ready for that. But that is true. They play the Phillies, the first place Philadelphia Phillies, which I don't think anybody expected to be saying at this point in this season.
Probably not even the Phillies at this point in the season. Another one of those where, you know, it's interesting to look at how quickly they've come. You thought, and here's a team that was building toward next year. So I'm excited to see what they have and how exactly good they are. A little disappointed in a couple of the pitchers that the Padres are going to miss.
Yeah, it'd be nice to, I mean, probably not nice for the Padres, but nice for people watching the games to see someone like Aaron Nola. I believe he was a top six, top eight pick when he came out of LSU. He's got a 2.30 ERA this year. He's got a 131 strikeouts already. He's been very good. Their rotation does not include him this weekend, but it does include Jake Arrieta, who is certainly no slouch. And so I think the Padres will have their work cut out for them as they do against most teams that they play. And, you know, we saw the power of Rhys Hoskins at the Home Run Derby. Anybody who saw that had to be impressed with what Hoskins has done. He has 14 homers. Herrera has 16 homers. Carlos Santana has 14 homers. So as usual, the Phillies have hitters. Their ballpark is a hitter's ballpark. And the Padres are, who are we seeing, Kevin? We're seeing Clayton Richard in the first game.
Clayton Richard, Luis Perdomo, Tyson Ross is the plan. And Luis Perdomo, obviously Jordan Lyles went last night. I haven't heard. It didn't go well statistically, but he's pitching on the moon in Albuquerque. You know, they're doing his thing. He went a couple innings and got shelled, just like Joey Lucchese did the night before. But I think that the plan is that Jordan Lyles will be back next turn in the rotation, and that Joey will be back to pitch Monday against the Mets. So Luis Perdomo probably making his last start here.
Well, I guess, pending how he pitches, you know, if the light bulb goes on and he has a good start, I would think they'd give him another one. But there's probably not a lot of reason for optimism in that. But you never know.
No, you don't. And I don't know that. Yes, you're absolutely right. I got a little ahead of myself. The last two times, the guy has gotten shelled. It's not like they're just there. You couldn't even come out afterward and say, "Hey, those guys found some holes." Luis Perdomo got hit hard, and that's been a problem. And I think that he's stagnating, and that there's other people that they want to see. And that's why I'm getting ahead of myself. But you are absolutely correct. He could go shut down the Phillies, and then boy, do they have a conundrum. I'm looking for a lot of things. I mean, it's really the same thing as the first half, but of course you want to see, does Eric Hosmer have, he's generally better in the second half. Want to see, you know, I don't think that that's at the top of the list, something I should have actually talked about first. I mean, Eric Hosmer is going to be fine, but all the same things we're looking at in the first half, what do the Padres do in the second half? Hunter Renfroe, Manuel Margot, who knows what, how Austin Hedges, who's actually hitting really well, how does he respond to this?
I was going to say that was one thing we didn't get to in the discussion about the trade today with Mejia, is what does this mean for Austin Hedges? Mejia's played a little bit of outfield so far, but not you know, not a lot, and he's considered that catching is his prime position. You know, AJ Preller mentioned something today about you don't usually see these days the 130, 140 game catcher, so maybe they have in mind that they do some splitting. But I would think, and I'm sure you'll get more of this tomorrow when the Padres are available in Philadelphia, Andy Green, Austin Hedges, and ask them what does this mean for Austin Hedges? Is this, it seems like he's been, like with most of these guys, he's been put on notice here, but he's been put on notice with the temperature very hot, you know, under him, because they do have another guy that they obviously think very highly of that they want to see get some chances. So what do you think about Hedges? He's played very well since he came off the DL.
He certainly has, and I look forward to, I'm glad I didn't do anything with, you know, the last few times I've talked to him, and he, and talking about some of the things that he has done in terms of just relaxing and concentrating on his defense. And I think Andy Green was very calculated in comments he had about Austin Hedges a couple weeks ago, just trying to take the pressure off of him and let him know, hey, you're going to be fine. And Austin Hedges sort of taking a breath and oh, lo and behold, at least he had a nice week hitting, right?
Right. And then so much for not having the pressure on him anymore, right?
Exactly. So that's why I'm glad I can go back and be, but if this could be, I'm imagining that Austin Hedges will say what he was saying before, which is he just, you know, you can't get caught up in all that anymore. And that's something that a lot of these guys are figuring out.
Do you think you'll hear this? Do you think you'll hear this, Kevin? I can only worry about what I can control.
Oh, without a doubt, we will hear that. And what's funny is like that has seemed to work for a few guys. So all right, Austin, you know, good luck to you. And absolutely, because the guy is an incredible defensive catcher. If he can be the player he has been, even close to it, the last, week and a half, then Austin Hedges has nothing to worry about. But evidently, the Padres are stacking it up there behind him.
Right. And yeah, because Austin Allen's in Double-A with, I think, 18 home runs at this point. So yeah, there's no shortage of talent right now at the catching position. But again, it's sort of unproven. I mean, Hedges is unproven as a hitter. Mejia is unproven at the big league level. Obviously, Allen's still at Double-A. So there it appears to be talent there. But, you know, we've said that about other positions as well. But there's nothing wrong with stacking up players at a position. I mean, guys don't work out. Guys get hurt. And you also, if everything goes well, you've got a great trade piece.
That's the thing, and you are right to keep hammering at home that the guys we're talking about are prospects, and that, I mean, this game, unlike any other, really, I guess I'm not as familiar with hockey and juniors and how many of those guys make it, but this game, unlike any other that I've covered, it's a, you know, a crapshoot. I hate to say that, but it's a crapshoot when you're talking about minor leaguers making it to the majors and actually being contributors to a championship team, not just a major league team even. But this, and I couldn't tell you apples to apples because obviously I wasn't covering the Astros, the Cubs, the Royals, or let's say the Dodgers and what they were able to do yesterday and what they were able to do last year because of all the prospects they have. I mean, that is a layer that A.J. Preller, the rest of us are going, hey, how about you get to the playoffs first? But A.J. Preller and his crew are thinking about that as there's no problem with having five catchers. Heck, not at all. There's no problem with having, you know, three left-handed pitchers among the top, whatever it is, 51, know, prospects.
Right.
You know, no problem with that. If we have to trade one, that's awesome to get our own Manny Machado in 2028. That'll be great.
No, that's obviously the idea, is that you want to be able to be in that position where you can start buying players at the trade deadline, just as long as they're not, to bring up a terrible memory involving the team they traded with today, as long as they're not Ryan Ludwig. But
Yes, you hope that the kind of prospects we're talking about are more in line with them getting a Machado at the deadline, and that they are actually in the enviable position that the Dodgers are in.
Right, and that they got and that they got the Corey and that they get the Corey Kluber instead exactly. of giving him up. That sort of deal. So,
yeah. Okay. So, hey. Awesome. I'm glad that that A.J. Preller struck quick. He certainly has done that in the past and said he would this time if it came up. And obviously the Indians needed the help. I'm very happy for Adam Simber. You know, it was my first year here back on baseball, and it might as well have been, you know, a lifetime ago that I was on it. And I've tried to get to know people, a name that has come up among other coaches is Adam Simber guy. I mean, they were super impressed with him, and it's such a great backstory that, you know, that's awesome. That I'm glad he gets to go to a contender, and quite honestly, I can say this now because he's not on the team that I cover. I really hope he does well.
Right. No, I don't think there's any reason to root against a guy like that. And since and since I do root for the Indians, as you know, from afar, I hope both those guys go on and do well. And of course, you know, as people in San Diego, you hope that that Mejia is everything that he's been billed to see, and we'll keep an eye on the next 12 days, and hopefully the next trade will not come while you're 35,000 feet above the United States. But Jeff did a great job filling in, so as long as you're both unavailable, then we'll all be okay.
Couldn't be more grateful. And the truth is, I don't get on a plane now for 21 more days. I'm driving and taking the train around the East Coast and the Midwest to cover this team and go to Cooperstown, which is where AJ Preller will be at the trade deadline.
Right, right. Yeah, we'll look forward to that. We've got several stories lined up for next week from you and Jeff and Bryce Miller, and Tom Krasovic wants to write something. So we'll have lots of stuff on Trevor, and who knows, we'll have two or three more trades by then. You never know.
Fantastic. All right, Jay, talk to you later.
Kevin, have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday from New York City.
Flushing.
Okay.
See ya.